news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Hey, did you know that you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram?
That's right. Just go to Facebook.com/MarriedReviews or Instagram.com/MarriedReviews. Give us a follow. Give us a like. We post new stuff to the Facebook page, including our YouTube reviews. And on Instagram, we post a bunch of dumb pics.
Indeed.
So give us a share, a like, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Lex Podcast, Married Movie Reviews Part 5. Joining me, of course, is my wife Latasha. If it weren't her, then that would be a juicy episode for sure.
I would love to hear you mimic my voice.
I was just saying if there was some other girl on the show.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking that. I was just thinking you doing it solo.
Or a guy.
What did you think of the show, dear? Oh, I thought it was great. How about you?
A guy would be also juicy. Well, that sounded...
innuendo.
Wow, we're getting off to a good start here. All right. On today's show, we have what may be our biggest review of the year, of the, at least of the summer, in Guardians of the Galaxy. We're also going to be taking a look at Get On Up, the James Brown story, and So It Goes. And So It Goes. There you go.
There we go.
But before we get into that, is there anything that you saw as far as trailers go, or has there been anybody in the theater you want to comment on? Anything before we get into these reviews here?
Trailers... Not really. I mean, as I said last time, I'm glad Guardians of the Galaxy is finally showing so I can stop seeing the trailer. But, I mean, I'm kind of getting tired of Expendables 3. You know, I've seen that trailer many, many times now.
Yeah.
Interstellar looks pretty awesome.
Yeah,
It looks pretty fascinating.
I don't remember if I said it on the last show, but I remember I said to you that that's one I've been... That's one I saw for Guardians of the Galaxy? No. For Get On Up? Maybe?
Possibly.
I don't know. But I saw it recently is my point. And it does look like... It kind of looks like something we've seen before, kind of. Kind of looks like a...
Bits and pieces, perhaps, but...
Yeah, kind of like a...
The idea behind
Signs
it seems pretty
meets
cool. Yeah, I kind of got Signs with the cornfield, but
it looks cool. It's Christopher Nolan, so.
But the kicker is, it doesn't come out till November. So are we going to have all of September, all of October, and however long of November of seeing these trailers? Because then that's going to get old quickly.
Yeah, we are going to see that. That's the marketing budget of a movie.
So if they show different bits of the movie in each trailer, then by the time November hits, we will have seen the movie. That would be interesting.
In theory, yes. Well, but it also has Matthew McConaughey, who's one of my favorites. Let's not start doing Matthew McConaughey impressions on the show.
Don't worry, I'm no good at it.
I haven't really seen anything trailer-wise new... I know that they're releasing a lot of secondary trailers and trailers for movies that we've already seen. I know Nicolas Cage has a new movie coming out about... I think it's like something about him in a natural disaster or something like that. Something you would expect Nicolas Cage to do. I know that they've put another trailer out for Penguins of Madagascar. Which,
I haven't seen that.
Penguins of Madagascar is a TV show, or was a TV show on Nickelodeon. Now they're, well, it's obviously based off of Madagascar, you know. But they're doing a movie now, so we'll have to watch that kitty movie.
And maybe take the kitty.
Yeah, maybe take the kitty. Yes. not the kitty.
Kiddo, how's that?
We do have two cats, but,
Can you imagine them at the movies? Especially if that dog is in there.
Yeah. Flop, 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 flop.
People, though. The old woman. She was back tonight.
The old woman is now a character on our show.
Yes. I had met her after watching Chef and got caught up speaking to her for approximately 20 minutes. When I went into watch Sex Tape, I saw that she was there. She even, is that Latasha? And I did the, you know, shameful thing of, like, you know, hiding my face and looking the other way and pretending I didn't hear her.
So she actually saw you tonight?
No, this was at Sex Tape. Okay, and okay. I ignored it, and she ended up leaving, you know, halfway through the film. Well, tonight, I don't even know, like, what, like, the door opened, and I just happened to turn, and I was like, it's her! Oh, God! And I had my hair up in a ponytail, and so, like, I kind of hid my face with my hand, and then she walked behind me and was going around, so I quickly pulled my hair down and started playing with my hair so that it looked natural.
Sneaky snake.
She ended up leaving. Like, she has the habit of leaving halfway through movies, so...
What's funny is I don't believe I've ever seen her. I don't know for sure because I don't know exactly what she looks like. But you've hit her like
three times. Yeah, and you know the first two movies that I saw her in, it was, you know, when I went right after work, so it was like a somewhere between 4:30 and 5:30 showing.
Right.
So I figured I'm home free if I go at 7:45. Yet there she was. The kicker is also, had I gone tomorrow at 5:30, I wouldn't have run into her. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's one of those things. There are a couple of other people that I see pretty regularly. It's one of those awkward things where, like, you know each other by sight, so you kind of do, like, the head nod and go on your merry way.
Really? You're head nodding people now?
Yeah. I got my peeps.
Look at you.
Even one of the employees, I go up there to get my ticket, and... I was, like, dying of thirst, but didn't want to pay $5 for a soda, plus I'm trying to not drink soda, so I asked, can I just get, like, a cup of ice water? Do I have to buy a bottle of water and a cup of ice? And he was like, oh, yeah, I can give you a medium-sized cup of water for 50 cents.
Yeah, they do that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So I have him do that, and then he hands me my ticket. He's like, I see you here often enough. You know the drill. Enjoy your movie. I was like, all right, thanks,
the hell
bye.
Is that? I've been to more movies than you, and I don't get that treatment.
Because I'm pretty.
Well, I mean, I get the whole, you know, they'll take the ticket sometimes and say, okay, you're in theater there, and yeah. I don't have to give it to the person on the stairs or whatever. They just take it there at the counter, but I don't get the whole...
This was the first time, though, that nobody, like, he didn't ask me, is Donovan joining you tonight? So, that was kind of nice, because I didn't have to, you know.
No, obviously not, I'm alone. I just realized that this whole time the air conditioning was on. So that probably made up a lot of background noise.
Our apologies.
This whole time. So I'm going to go turn that off, and when we return, we are going to get down on some movie reviews, including Guardians of the Galaxy. So stay tuned. Don't forget to check out rantemradio.com. That is the home of the Lex Podcast. Also, check us out on Facebook, as we mentioned at the top of the show, facebook.com/marriedreviews. Catch us on Instagram, instagram.com/marriedreviews. And that's enough shilling from me. Enjoy the reviews. All right, so we are ready for some movie reviews, and we're going to start with a movie. So nice that you watched it twice. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ba-dum-tsh. I did. So this latest film from Marvel takes us on another incredible journey. Peter Quill, who is played by Chris Pratt, known from Parks and Rec and the Lego Movie, is an American who finds himself taken from Earth as a small boy, and we meet up with him again as an adult who's working as a sort of mercenary, and he's attempting to locate an orb. He ends up not being the only one after this mysterious orb, and he joins forces with some other misfits to keep this orb from the hands of who turns out to be the enemy. There are some wonderful visuals in this and really amazing performances by Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Lee Pace, and the voices of Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper, which make this a great first in what looks to be a promising new franchise, and I give this a 4.5. I thought it was awesome. And I did go see it twice. I saw it once in 2D, and then I saw it again in 3D. And it was awesome.
What was the experience like for 3D?
So, I had, prior to this, only ever seen one other movie in 3D, and it was Tim Burton's version of Alice in Wonderland years ago. And the only reason I saw that, I had purchased some DVD that had a code for a free movie ticket for Alice in Wonderland in 3D. So, I went to see it because it didn't cost me anything. And I was underwhelmed with that. The movie itself was fine, but just, I was expecting, like, in-your-face stuff. So having seen Guardians of the Galaxy in 2D, I knew that there were going to be some scenes that were going to look pretty awesome in 3D, and I was not disappointed. You know, just the bits where they're looking out in space and you see colors or, you know, rocks and things swirling, it just looked so much more cool. Like, I even did that whole thing where I'm wearing glasses and I lift them up to see what the screen looks like, and then I put them back on, and, you know, you have to do that at least once during a 3D. But I definitely think that I was able to enjoy the visuals of the 3D more, having seen the film previously in 2D.
I myself am a miserable bastard and hate 3D, so...
Have you ever even seen anything in 3D?
3D's been around since the 1950s.
I mean, have you actually gone to a 3D movie in the last 15 years?
No, because it's a gimmick. It's nothing that...
But it's cool.
But that's the thing, when I go see a film, I'm going to see it for its substance, not its things
popping
out. Obviously,
visuals have something to do with it, though.
In a sense,
you're not
but
blind or colorblind.
If it's all visuals, then you got a film like Lucy.
Yeah,
sorry.
You're on a roll.
I had to take a shot, because you went and saw that again, too.
I did.
I don't know what
I wanted to see that. If seeing it a second time would change my mind, and no, it's still a mindfuck. So,
but regardless, I saw it in 2D and I enjoyed the film. I'm not a comic book kind of guy. I mean, I read the occasional comic, but I'm nowhere near. I know a thing or two about a thing or two, but I don't know. I don't know really anything when you look at how big comics are and how vast their stories span, and I didn't know about the Guardians of the Galaxy before this, and I'm guessing a whole lot of other people didn't know about the Guardians of the Galaxy before this, because from what I understand, this was not a mainstream comic, it was kind of like a side deal, but it will connect
almost
to...
Almost like the redheaded stepchild that nobody really cared about.
I'd never heard of it before at all, ever, any of the characters at all. Besides maybe the larger characters that, Thanos or what have you. But I think that's why I like this film so much, is because it is that. I don't like the Avengers very much, the Avengers movie. I think it's...
Did you actually watch it?
Yeah.
I still have not seen it.
It's definitely not this. It's not bad. Avengers isn't bad. But
in the comic book world, though, Iron Man joins the Guardians of the Galaxy.
And that's the thing. Before the Iron Man movies came out, I was a big fan of Iron Man. Just, again, not knowing really the story or backstory or anything, just Iron Man looked cool. There was a video game, an arcade cabinet in Round Table Pizza in Willows. It was called Captain America and the Avengers. And so it had Captain America... It had Iron Man, it had Hawkeye, it had a few other ones that I don't remember offhand, but I would always pick Iron Man, and I just thought he was the coolest thing. And then that movie came out, and Robert Downey Jr. played him.
Did it ruin it for you?
It kind of did, because he's an asshole. It's like, he's not a very likable guy. I mean, he is in the sense of he's charismatic. But he's such an asshole that it's just, even though he's a good guy, he's kind of a bad guy. I don't know. I didn't care for, like, it made me like him less. Anyway, I think the Guardians of the Galaxy, my point is, has a lot more character than the Avengers does, in my opinion. Whereas the Avengers is kind of dull to look at. Has a lot of darkness to it. I think Guardians of the Galaxy is the exact opposite. It was very visually pleasing. It was like eye candy the whole time. Because now, even when they're not in action scenes where it's a bunch of CGI and ships flying everywhere and everything, the set pieces that they do have are very bright. Even the prison was lit extremely well.
And I mean, obviously, when you've got a setting in outer space, you can kind of play around with what your people and your alien-like creatures look like. So you had green skin and blue skin and right. pink skin, so mm-hmm. you know you had a color palette there
right.
in addition to, you know, just the clothing and things like that.
Right, and to continue to compare it with the Avengers, this cast of characters, this this band in Guardians of the Galaxy were, like, infinitely more interesting than the characters in the Avengers. Like, even you trot them out, Hulk, Thor, even Captain America, they're so dull when you compare them to these characters. Especially when you're talking about Rocket Raccoon, which was awesome, and Groot, you know, that combo right there. Those two alone could have their own film, and I think it would bust out more.
Yeah, for a character who had, you know, four words in total, the whole film just kept repeating, "I am Groot." Like, even though I know that it was CGI and stuff, like, even just some of the, like, facial expressions, like the smile or, you know, the looks and things like that, added a comedy element to it just with the visual there. They're not
George and
anything.
Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, that's what the whole kind of premise is. In the sense of Rocket is like a hardened misfit himself, but he's also smart in a sense. Like, he's not intelligent, but he's street smart.
Right.
And Groot is his muscle, you know? And he can't say anything that anybody understands except for Rocket. Rocket can understand
And him. There was some funny back and forth dialogue.
Right, there was
I
very
am Groot.
Quick.
What do you mean you want us to save him? I am Groot. Yeah, I know they're our only friends, but it was just kind of funny because right. it's like...
Of course, it's not live performance, I mean...
Right, but still, I mean, I feel like it was done really well. It's not like... I mean, of course, you know it's CGI, but you don't look at it and you're like, oh god, that's bad CGI. You know, you're like, hey, that's pretty good.
And the rest of the characters, Zoe Saldana, I didn't care for too much her character.
Do you like her in anything, though?
She is one of the... She's one of the people on the list that I don't care to see. But at the same time, you know, her character didn't add a whole bunch, but she was there. You know, she was there to drive some of the plot. And she kicked ass. So, you know, it's not too offensive. I thought Drax
was
surprisingly
really
a very cool character.
By that.
Dave Bautista, who is someone I personally don't care for, as someone who has flipped me off in the past, in person, he's just kind of and the stories you hear about him, he's kind
well,
of
and for people who don't know, he is not an actor by trade. He's
well,
a professional
I mean, if you
wrestler.
Think about it,
I mean, in the know. Sense of, you know, that's not his medium. You know, he's a professional wrestler, so he's doing his acting more in that regard, not dialogue and things like that. But I was so impressed with him. Like, I feel like he actually fit that character really yeah. well.
I'll give the devil his due. He did a really, really good job. And you kind of look at the character maybe from the trailer and you say, well, there's not much meat on the bone there for that character, but there actually is quite a bit. He's a straight man, so he kind of has to deliver his lines with a certain timing and a certain demeanor, and he does it extremely well. So that whole band of characters, it was interesting seeing them get together and everything, and it had to happen. We had to see that tale of the story, but I feel that the much more interesting story is going to come when they're already together in the next movie we get. What do you think about the villain in this, what's his name?
Ronan.
I kept thinking Ramen for some reason. Ramen the Accuser.
So I think I've mentioned before that there have been times that I'm watching a movie and I'm looking at somebody and I'm like, I know that person. I can't figure out where I've seen them before or mm-hmm. why they look familiar.
You do it all the time and it's annoying.
I do. So this was no exception. I'm looking at this blue guy, and that's hard too because you're not seeing the person, you're seeing the blue skin with the black war paint on the face, and you know, the eyes are different and the voice is obviously different, but I'm like, how the hell do I know that person? And then I realize it's Lee Pace, which the only other thing I've really seen him in, he's been in a few things a little more recently, but he was the main character in the TV show Pushing Daisies, playing kind of a nerdy baker guy. So then, like, to realize that that's the same guy, I'm like, holy hell, like, he did scary, mean, and intimidating really well.
Now, given he is painted to the gills and yeah. has a hood over his head the whole time, but the character, you go through the whole movie knowing he's a side boss. You know, he's a side villain. Yeah. So it's like,
Thanos is
okay. You know, you're going to challenge Thanos and everything like that. You're going to get your ass kicked, and that's what's going to be. You expect that kind of thing. It's kind of predictable. The plot wasn't all that great, even though I know it kind of links all the other movies together with the gems that they're, you know, finding.
Infinity Stone.
Well, so they can put the Infinity Gauntlet together, and, you know, Thanos has his power. But, you know, it's okay. And that's why I give it a 4.5 instead of a 5, is because it was kind of a, all right, you know what this film is. Okay, we're just going to knock it out of the park. So it didn't really stimulate me on the level of, oh man, I've never seen this before.
Right.
But it did everything so well, from the set pieces to the characters. The actors all had great chemistry. I mean, that's one of the things that puts this over any comic book movie I've ever seen, is that the chemistry between the actors, the Guardians themselves, and I'm not talking about anybody else, which everybody else is great in the film too, but just the Guardians, it's like, I want to see more of this, mm-hmm. and I can't wait to see more of it. And I've never said that about a comic book movie before.
And I just have to say, Chris Pratt as Peter Quill, I was really impressed by him. This is, you know, he's always been kind of the side character or TV shows or whatever, so this was kind of his first thing as, like, the main person. And I loved the humor that he brought to it as well, because it's like, he didn't take himself too seriously.
Was the Lego Movie this year? Or was it last year?
Early this year?
Was it early this year? Late last year? Because he did the main voice.
Yeah, the voice of Emmett.
And so he had that, which was a hit. He has this, which is a hit. So he's become already.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see more of him.
A top actor, yeah.
But, so. Like, and I just loved the references, too, because he's taken from Earth in the 80s as, you know, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that age range, I would guess. And all of his Earth references are only up to that point. So he's got this Walkman that has, you know, music right. from prior yeah. to that. So throughout, you know, we hear some groovy 80s music and things like that. But it's just funny, the little references that he makes, too, when he gets the orb and somebody else is after it and he's got two goons behind him. He's like, Ninja Turtle, you watch yourself. And it's just things like that. Well, I thought, like, were pretty funny.
He's like Mark Hamill and Michael J. Fox in one. You know, he can do Luke Skywalker, but he's got the sarcasm and he's got the kind of dumbness to him, his character, you know. So I thought, you know, he was cast in that very well. I thought the beginning of the movie was touching and plays out through the rest of the movie well, and so you do get a bit of emotion there, and you do get a bit of emotion with Rocket and Groot and things that happen there. We won't spoil anything, but you know, there are multiple storylines for each character. And they give them time for them to do that without breaking the story.
Yeah, really. I love that it literally is, like, wrapped up in a pretty little bow and handed to you on a platter. And I'm always one of those that has a big issue with plot holes or things left unclear, but in this case, there are certain things that were left open-ended
right.
that I'm completely 100% okay with knowing that there will be more films,
right. we didn't
and
get
that we
to,
have the option of it being wrapped up later.
Yeah, we didn't get to see who Star-Lord's father was.
Yes.
Which I actually have read that they will reveal that in the next film.
See, and one thing, both times I watched the movie, the second time I watched it, I was, like, listening even closer to see some wording that his mother says, and then that Yondu says for a minute made me think, like, is Yondu his dad? But then...
Also, John C. Reilly's character, who he plays,
hilarious.
Like, a guard on Nova Prime...
The right. little the Nova little speech Prime. That he's giving to Glenn Close's character about, well, do you believe him? Well, I don't believe anybody's 100% dick.
Yeah.
And then, hey, they got my dick message. That was just great.
But he actually refers to him as Star Prince at one point, which could have been a joke or could have been, you know, there's a Star King out there, King of the Stars, that's your father.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
I didn't even think that. I just thought it was more of like, you know, making fun of
right.
you.
It could have been.
Name, right?
It could have been, right.
So it's like, it's Star-Lord, man.
But they're notorious Marvel films are for planting these little eggs. And
you know, maybe once we see the next film, then we'll be able to go back and be like, dude, you were right.
Right. So I give it a 4.5 out of 5. You give it a 4.5 out of 5. That ties our highest ratings for this year with Chef. So these two
which
films will be
which is kind of funny because they are completely opposite films.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you look at everything. So that's mm-hmm. the great thing about film.
Well, they're opposite in premise, but I think they share a lot of good qualities.
Oh, well, yeah.
Cast, chemistry, simple plot that doesn't get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a good ending. So
definitely worth checking out. And if you can see it in 3D, I recommend that.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting to the point now where we've got these reviews like a... maybe a little less than a week before they've come out, or after they've come out, rather.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it should still be in theaters for 3-4 more weeks, probably, in most places. Definitely go see it in theaters. This is a film to run out and see. And, you know, also grab the Blu-ray when it comes out, because it's going to have features
for sure.
And vignettes and all that cool stuff. So we both... highly recommend Guardians of the Galaxy. Another biopic for Chadwick Boseman, another home run performance. Get on up, the James Brown story gives us a detailed account of the King of Soul's rise to fame and eventual fall to prison. The film spans from 1939 all the way to 1993, splicing and weaving together James's adventurous tale. Much like Jersey Boys, Get On Up benefits from its outstanding performances and suffers from questionable creative decisions and plot management. Much like Jersey Boys, I'm recommending this film for its performances alone, although there is much more to be enjoyed besides that. 4 out of 5 for Get On Up, the James Brown story for me. Wow, this was a very odd, trippy experience and journey. This is a 2.5-hour film. So number one, if you can't sit in a theater, which we actually had someone comment on Facebook about that, you know, I wish I could go see it, but I can't really sit still in theaters. This is not the one to try that. It's a long film, and I think a lot of that is because of those musical performances, which I understand having musical performances in a musical biopic. But don't let it eat up so much of the film that it's like it either makes the film much longer or it gets in the way of plot, which I felt this did here. Like, you had to see him being Chadwick Boseman perform as James Brown to get the whole experience, to get, you know, because he's not singing, so seeing him perform and dance as James Brown is what you got to pay to see, I guess. But we're also paying to see the story behind everything, because James Brown's life was absolutely nuts.
Holy hell, it was.
I mean, all the way from his childhood in rural Georgia. And seeing the relationship between his mother and father and how that affected him later in life with his relationships. I thought was very interesting. But the problem with this film is that in the very beginning, it's almost like someone else took the film over and said, okay, enough's enough. We need to stop jumping between times and everything. Because in the beginning, it starts in 1993, and then it flashes to...
39.
Does it? I think it flashes to...
Oh, maybe, to teen.
Yeah, I mean, it goes all over the place in the very beginning.
And that is my... As I've mentioned before, that's one of my pet peeves with film, is time jumping without giving an idea. And what I did like about this is the time jumps did have a timestamp.
Yeah,
1939, 1962, 19 whatever. So that was nice, but it didn't every time you jumped. You just knew going forward, this is the time it is now. But then we'd jump back to 1939. But wait, weren't we just in the 60s? Weren't we just in the 80s? Like, what the
I've seen a lot of biography books do this. That's the vibe I got from it.
Mm-hmm.
Was that because it every time had like a little chapter name to it too?
Yeah, which was usually one of the song titles that was, you know, pretty big in that year, or, you know, kind of the highlight of that year that we're visiting.
Now, he doesn't sing in this. He doesn't sing his own songs.
There are a couple of points where Chadwick Boseman does sing,
right?
And I liked his voice. I was impressed by him.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think they wanted to get the original recordings on there for most of the.
But for me, that was a bad thing.
And that's what I wanted to talk about. Is you had a much bigger problem with this than I did. I didn't really care. There's only one part in the film where it's kind of like, eh, and that's the first song we see him sing is pretty badly lip synced. So it's noticeable that it's off. Other than that, though, everything looked fine to me, and it was just like, whatever, I don't care.
It's during that song, I pull out my phone, I go to IMDb, I'm trying to look up, did he do his own singing, and then I text you, did he do his own singing? And then that's when you told me, no, it was all recorded except for the raw bits that they didn't have recorded. So to me, it was like obvious, and it kind of detracted from it, because every time he would sing, I'd almost have to, like, look away from the screen because it was uncomfortable to watch because it was so bad.
Really? Wow.
Like, karaoke people could lip sync better than that, or, you know, Beyonce could lip sync. I don't know. It's just, like,
well, I mean, lip sync and then, you know, lip sync or limp sync and perform a whole dance routine with
because the recommendation if you're going to be lip syncing is to actually sing, that way you're not just moving your lips but you're actually getting,
and who knows, he could
the vibe
have been
and
singing,
everything
but we didn't
but
they cut
maybe,
that audio out.
But there were only two places in the film where I feel like it looked like he could have actually been performing. That was during the Man's World bit about in the middle, and then the very last song. Those are the only two that I feel like he looked like he actually could have been the one
singing. The please, please, please thing? Is that what you're talking about? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
No. At the very end, his very last performance.
No, I'm not talking about the last performance. I'm talking about the first one you mentioned.
It's a Man's World?
Yeah, where he keeps going, please, please. No?
This is a Man's World. But it wouldn't be nothing with
no, anyone. I know the song, yeah, but I'm just... Okay, never mind. You're looking at me like you're lost. So, what it does is eventually, maybe about 20, 30 minutes in, it kind of levels out and we start going chronologically. You know, we start...
Sort of. I mean, it's
no,
still time
it
jumps.
Really... I mean, in after 30 minutes, it like... It says, okay, we're going to go chronologically from here to this point. I mean, it does it for a very long time.
Because an hour in, we're suddenly back to when he's a kid and he's in the boxing ring.
I'm not, but I mean, that's, but I mean, that's it, more of a memory. Because he asks him, why are you like this? And then he remembers back to that. I'm not, you know, that's different. But
it's still a time jump.
It's a time jump, but I mean, that's happens in a lot of different movies.
But
or someone remembers
so
something and it goes back. It happens in The Water Boy.
Dreamy.
Wayne's World, whatever. So, but it when it starts talking about how he got to be with his group, the Famous Flames, one of my favorite parts of the film is when they come across Little Richard.
which was absolutely outstanding because the guy who did Little Richard was great.
Bad lip syncing again.
I didn't think so. Again, if you care about that, take her word. If you don't, take my word. I don't know. Maybe that's like a half a point's difference. Maybe. If
it definitely detracted from the overall for me.
Yeah.
It made it harder for me to actually like. And I'm going to be a bitch for a minute.
Okay.
Like, James Brown, such a damn unlikable person. And I know that he had the mannerisms in the speech, in the language, dead on. But oh my god, it was so fucking hard to understand him half the time. Or to even watch because he's got like this like little head shake thing going on. You can't even understand what he's saying half the time.
You have a low tolerance for difference.
It's not even difference, it's just like, girl, the man was difficult.
I will admit, and I will agree, that in the beginning and the end of the film, when he's older, is when it's most difficult to understand, because I didn't understand a lot of what was said either. So that was a little bit frustrating, but at the same time, that was James Brown. What are you going to do, you know?
But like,
put subtitles down there or something?
Maybe. But seeing pictures of James Brown, like in his early middle years, uh-huh. like the jaw thing didn't seem pronounced. So it's like, why did they have him? Because as a child, it wasn't portrayed as him having this. So it's almost like, was his jaw broken at some point and healed funky?
I don't know.
Or what? But
could be the actor.
The actor himself? Look at a picture of him. He doesn't have that issue.
I'm just saying.
So am I.
Goodness.
What did you think about the performances of some of the supporting characters, though?
I thought it was all great.
Mr. Bird. And
yeah,
even,
he did a fantastic job.
Even Little James. I was super impressed by that kid, even though he hardly spoke. Mm-hmm. It was just, gosh, he was able to like just look at you, and there was such emotion in
right.
the look.
He reminds me of an actor, and I don't know the name offhand, but he was in a lot of 90s stuff, and I'll try to look that up and refer back to it if I can find out what it is. In fact, I know which movie he's in, but Dan Aykroyd did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
As Bert. What was the name? It's something with bees.
I thought it was Dan.
No. Dan's his real name.
No, but I thought it was like Dan Burt or something like that, but they only went by his last name.
This is like Ben Burt or something like that.
Oh, maybe it was Ben then.
Yeah. I am terrible with names. Like, I'll watch a movie or a show, and I will not. The names will not stick with me. I don't know why. Just have a bad memory with that, I guess. Gosh, I really wish I knew what this guy's name was. This kid. As I continue to look for it, I think he was in Tales from the Hood, which is, you know, I don't know how many people have seen that, but it's actually a pretty decent horror flick. But he plays a kid in one of their anthology sketches. And I think I got it. No, that's a limo driver. Okay, I'm not going to figure it out right now. But he reminds me of him. And when people see him, I think people that know this other kid will see that too. He's got a very good look to him. Like you said, he doesn't speak, but his mannerisms are... They're good. You know, I mean, that I was thinking about this earlier. With kids, it's hard to tell what's a good performance or not. Because a lot of the times they're not given much to do unless it's purposely given. They're given, like, a large chunk of the script, and this is a vehicle for you, kid. You know, like that kid in True Grit and, you know, Dakota Fanning and stuff like that, where they're given large, large roles. But I thought all the side performances, even, what's his name? Daryl from The Office.
Craig Robinson.
Yeah, Craig Robinson. He did a fantastic job as kind of the... If there were a character in the film that were you, I would put you in that. It's someone who completely did not agree with James, who thought he was an asshole. He thought, you know,
truth,
all that. So, but the thing,
what I was impressed by is that, you know, that person was kind of willing to call him on it.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, what's interesting about this story is that yes, he was an asshole. Yes, he did a whole bunch of bad things, but at the same time, he was a genius. And just because you're a genius doesn't mean you're a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just because you're a genius doesn't mean you're a bad person either. It's just the way he was brought up kind of molded him in two separate ways. Molded him to do all these bad things, but also molded him to have the balls to kind of go, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And either you can do it or you can leave, right. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to, you know, make the world love me. And that's what happened, you know. And there were a lot of, you know, as we went along, performances that I saw that were like, okay, I see TV cameras. I want to go back and try to find that footage of the actual performance and everything. Mm-hmm. And they even spliced some actual footage in there,
yeah,
from time to time. So it's a trip of a movie for sure. It's kind of half good, half bad, I'd say. But the performances are so outstanding. Him as James Brown, just on stage alone dancing, is ridiculous.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked in a good way over the dancing. I was like, boy can move.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing the dedication he had to pull this this mm-hmm. role off. And So I liked him in Draft Day earlier this year too.
See, this is the first thing I've ever seen him in, at least that mm-hmm. I'm aware of, because I know he did 42, so he played Jackie Robinson, which, you know, like, here he is now playing, having played two pretty iconic people.
Right.
So that's, you know, good for him and everything.
Yeah.
But I have a question for you about how you felt about a certain something.
Shoot.
In the film. So I know that something that you hated about Jersey Boys was the talking to the camera.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And so they did this in this film, but the thing that, like, threw me off with it is that at least with Jersey Boys, we knew it was going to happen because it literally happens at the very beginning of the film. You know, Tommy from the first second is talking to you on the other side of that, you know, screen or what have you. This, it was just kind of random. It was like, is he looking at me, the person sitting in the audience, or does he just happen to be looking that direction and the camera just happens to be filming from that angle?
Right, right.
And then he talked to you in the audience. So it was just, it was kind of strange. And
I thought it was strange that they felt the need to have a narrator in this film at all, because I didn't think the film needed narration.
Right.
You know, after a while, I didn't mind it, but again, it was something I didn't need to see because it kind of got on my nerves of, you know, why are you breaking this?
And I think that that's what threw me off, is because it only happened a total of like 3, maybe 4 times throughout the whole film.
Quite a bit. It did.
Did it,
very small parts. Like, he'll say a few words.
But that was the thing, is it's like, was he talking to me?
Right.
Or was he just saying that? And I happen to be the only one around listening.
Yeah, yeah, there's a few of them.
So, it was kind of bizarre in that regard, but
yeah, there's some very emotional scenes in this one as well. So, overall, I enjoyed it, but like I said, it's almost identical to Jersey Boys in
a lot of
different ways. I like
Jersey Boys better.
I don't know if I like Jersey Boys better. I don't know if I like this better. I think there are chunks of each film that I like better. I like maybe the steadiness of the chronology.
There we go.
of Jersey Boy a little, Jersey Boys a little bit more, but I like the risks and what they showed of Get On Up a little bit more. I think Get On Up was more stimulating than Jersey Boys was. In the ending scenes for each film, I thought Get On Up was 100 times better. So, again, they're pretty much on the same level to me, though. They're both good films that I do recommend seeing, especially if you don't know anything about these people. You know, it's
because I'm one of those. I didn't go into either really knowing what to expect.
Right.
So
it's enlightening. They're both entertaining stories. 4 out of 5 for me on Get On Up. What do you give it this time?
So I personally have waffled back and forth because this is a movie that I hated it. But on the other hand, I loved it. And I know that that sounds like such a cop-out and everything, so I will explain. But I hated it from a personal level. This is not a movie that I was interested in. I've already, you know, talked about the things that annoyed me, the time jumps, and, you know, the actor himself is not what the problem was. It was, you know, like, just the character of James Brown just, like, pissed me off. So, looking at it from that, I hated it. Like, it was horrible in that sense. But then looking at it objectively as a film,
mm-hmm.
amazing performances. Like I said, he had his mannerisms and, you know, this and that down perfectly. So, it was just, you know, like...
He did a fantastic
right,
job.
Right, so, like, I definitely can't
How are you
going to
deny that.
That
performance?
Right, that's what I'm saying. So... you know, slapping myself and getting out of my funk there. Ha, funk. But the side characters I thought were really great and really well performed. Visually, it was really well done, like you mentioned, with some of the stage things that they mm-hmm. did. While some of those were overdone, I feel like they were set up really well with the lighting and, you know, good, like, shadows and this and that. So...
yeah.
Looking at it from that, like, it was so well done, you know, the score, the performances, the visuals, even the wardrobe and the set design, like, they definitely went all out for this, and it definitely shows.
Yeah.
So, on a personal level, I would totally only give this, like, a 2.5,
oh,
but
wow.
on an actual, you know, from a cinematic point of view, I have to give this a 4. So
what is it?
It's a 4.
A 4?
Because
okay.
I have to look at it. That's, you know, this is like a social experiment. I'm doing things I don't want to do
right.
to see the outcome. And I have to admit that, you know, the film itself for what its, you know, intent is, it's a good film.
Yeah.
So
I recommend checking it out. Maybe not in theaters, but maybe when it gets out.
I would say that this
video.
Is worth a rental.
Especially if you like James Brown music, I mean, obviously yeah. the soundtrack is absolutely amazing. His music is fantastic.
For sure. And it even, catchy. There was a little blurb on the screen right at the end that he is the most sampled artist of all time. And he even, at some point, made a comment in the film that everything that you hear from this moment forward has James Brown in it. Like, he talked about himself in the third person. That was another annoyance. But anyway.
But that's often a characteristic of someone of that stature, to talk about themselves in third person. Someone that confident is going to, so.
And so it goes. Diane Keaton, known for Because I Said So, and Michael Douglas, known for Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, both star in this film about a very self-absorbed man named Orrin Little who finds out that he has a 10-year-old granddaughter when his estranged son drops her off with him. Orrin enlists the help of his neighbor Leah, and together they care for his granddaughter Sarah, and through this he learns to care about others again and become a little less self-absorbed. This is a feel-good film that is nothing special, but also not the worst thing out there. A few chuckles kept it light, but the message is really what this film is about. I only give this a 2.5. Again, it was nothing special, really.
I like how you, when you were listing the actors, I like how you listed Michael Douglas as known as from Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps.
I went with his most recent stuff,
that's,
not
okay,
his really well-known
fair.
Things.
That's
like
fair.
You know,
I liked Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, but...
But, I mean, really, how many people are going to have seen his stuff from the early 90s that he would be more well-known for?
A lot.
Like, people right now that are in their 20s that are probably listening to this?
I don't know. I mean...
They were born
in 26.
90s.
I was born in 87. Wall Street came out in 87. Obviously, I didn't see it as a baby, so I had to go see it later. Basic Instinct, you know.
That's the other one I was debating mentioning, but I was like...
It's okay. I just wanted to bring... I thought that was funny, so... I actually thought this was a nice little film.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah, it was good. It was, you know, one of those, like... feel-good films that... I don't... Okay, so you have your list of actors and actresses you can't stand. Sandra Oh's on that. Cameron Diaz is on that. Well, Michael Douglas is on mine.
I don't know why.
Can't stand the guy. I don't know why either. I just don't like him.
I don't know why.
But I tried to put that aside when watching this.
But that's... I mean, with me, I don't much care for Diane Keaton because I feel like she plays the same role in every single thing.
Because she does.
Well, you know. And so, you know, I don't really care for her. But I like Rob Reiner. I think he's an interesting director. I think he certainly has... When you look at, you know, the
he's
list...
kind of all over the place, though, with what he does, isn't he?
I think he does movies that kind of... That would be like home cooking, if we were to relate it to food. You know, he's not a fine dining guy, but he's going to make some movies that kind of tug at the heartstrings a little bit and are a little more safe than usual, which is absolutely funny because he's in The Wolf of Wall Street, which might be the most debauchery-laced film I've ever seen, and he plays the main character's father. And he plays, in this movie, he plays Diane Keaton's, well, he courts her, but he's her piano player. And so I thought he was funny as the piano player who didn't really have a clue who
with
wearing
toupee.
But he was a very kind character. I thought Michael Douglas did a good job of playing the crabby old man who... You know, we dig and dig and find out why he's crabby, and he turns it around. But this is a movie that's geared towards an older audience. So if you're younger, it's probably not going to hit home with you. It had a lot of old folks jokes in it, but also
old folks jokes.
But
say that 10 times.
Like, nice. And I was sad because there are like a little quick things in there that my audience I was watching with didn't necessarily catch, even though my audience did laugh quite a bit. You know, when he's trying to sell the house, and basically he has these photos and he switches out the photos depending on which ethnicity the potential buyer is. And so he's got a black couple in there and he's talking, his son walks in and he's like, "Are you selling our house?" and everything. And they're like, "Well, we thought Common own this house." He goes, "Who's Common?" And it shows a picture. He put a picture of Common the rapper in one of the little pictures there. And it's just, like, nobody got that. And I was sad, but, like, it's not a film of the year candidate at all.
Yeah.
It's a plot we've seen before. And actually, this reminded me of As Good As It Gets. It was actually written by the same person. And you said you've never seen As Good As It Gets, which
nope.
is just a travesty into itself. But
add it to my list.
You don't like Jack Nicholson, so you might not.
It's not that I don't like him. It's just like...
You think he's creepy.
He is. How could you not think he's creepy after certain films that he's been in?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different people who are creepy and...
But there are some people that no matter how many other films you see them in that, you know, should make you think otherwise, you just can't help but thinking of them as a certain... I'm always going to see him as a little bit creepy.
I think the little girl in the film was absolutely adorable. And she kind of lifted up the movie quite a bit for me.
Yeah, she was a cutie.
Like, she made me care. Even though I was rolling my eyes at the potential of, "I've got a daughter, can you take care of her? I'm going to leave her on your doorstep, blah, blah, blah." She kind of sold it to the point of, I care what happens to her, and I care that she is
protected. There was the scene with tracking down her mom so that he could get rid of her that...
Right.
I feel like for his character, that was kind of the turning point, because Sarah, the little girl, is like, "I don't want to stay here. Do I have to stay here?" And he's like, "Nope, honey, you don't. It was nice to visit you. Let's go." And I feel like that was kind of the first moment of him, like, kind of changing.
Yeah, but on the other hand, there are scenes like the woman giving birth. It's just like, no, what are you doing? It's like the puppy who knows... He's doing something bad, but he's doing it to kind of try to be cute, but really he just urinates all over the floor. And that's what this was. They were doing it to try to have a cute scene where Oren delivers a baby, but it's just no. That didn't need to be in there. And you can tell from the start when the woman's pregnant that that's going to be something that's set up later on. But for all this movie is not, I think it is something that is very good in American cinema that's still happening, is that these movies do get made still after these, and I don't want to say names, but these Seth Rogen movies that come out. And I get there has to be the spectrum of different films and everything, but when we've got so much negative stuff coming out with films and The Expendables and stuff like that, it's stuff that's, don't get me wrong, it has its audience and everything, but it's really just blowing shit up, and there's nothing more to it than that. It's good to get these actors into emotional situations and lighthearted situations. Even though I don't care for watching Diane Keaton and Michael Douglas have intimate scenes together.
I looked away.
We got to understand that there are older people who do that. You know, that happens in the world.
What?
So, but I did like the film, even though, again, I'm not saying it's anything spectacular, but it's something I would recommend seeing, maybe not going out to theaters to see. But if you liked As Good As It Gets, Grumpy Old Men, you know, things like that, the Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon movies and stuff like that, it's funny in that sense. It's funny to watch this old man break a paintball gun out of his trunk to shoot the dog who's about to take a dump on his lawn. And then, you know, karma comes back around, and then he has to then take care of that dog and everything. So I thought it was worth a 3 out of 5 and a recommendation. So
I'm sticking with my 2.5.
All right. And I think that's going to do it for us for this episode. Next episode, we will have reviews for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, as well as Into the Storm, and maybe something else. Also, if you have the recommendation for us, you can still get that in. A comedy anywhere between 1950 and the present, 2013 would be fine. Just make sure we can actually get a hold of it via Netflix or Amazon or something like that. But anyway, thanks for listening tonight. And until next time, visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/marriedreviews. Our Instagram page is Instagram.com/marriedreviews. And check out rantemradio.com to check out more shows like ours. We have other movie review shows, comic books, wrestling, and all that good stuff. So check that out, too. Very big things coming for this podcast in the future. So keep your ears peeled, I guess, since you can't keep your eyes peeled for audio.
Eyes open, ears peeled.
Yeah. That's good enough. All right, folks. See you later.
Adios.